Welcome to Kick-Ass Couples Nation Behind the Scenes, where you get exclusive footage just for our members. Listen in to hear our fantastic guests respond to a few extra questions and get further insight into how these committed couples handle areas we all wonder about in our own relationships.
So just a couple of fun
things a couple
behind
easy
the
fun.
Scenes. Yeah. And, we talked about some of the things. I know you guys, and I'm going to start this off by saying, what has been the biggest challenge in your relationship, and what have you done to overcome it together?
I'll let you answer that. Because I always know that you answer that one.
Biggest challenge. I may need some help here because nothing's coming to mind.
That's not really. A good, because we haven't, unfortunately, we haven't had any big challenges.
New. We're pretty new to this.
We're 8 years in.
I'll let you in on a little something, right? When we first got married.
That's a good one.
Yeah,
that's
we first got married. Yes. The one of the big questions was, where are we going to live? Right. Mm-hmm. So I had always owned like apartment buildings and stuff like that. And I felt like, hey, well, we got, you know, a place to live automatically. Right. You know, we can just build a life here. But Marie was used to living in a different part of town. And she's like, yeah, I don't really think I want to live over there where your apartment is. Yeah. And so the question was, do we do this or do we move in together? And her brother was living with her at the time. So as newlyweds, we decided to move in, you know, together. But her brother was side. Also there. To her, the area where she liked it, it was close to her job and all that stuff. And so we had to adjust to living as grown-ups with, you know, another grown-up in the house. And that was a bit of a challenge. It turned out not to be, you know, like a huge deal. But it was an adjustment that went on for quite a while. And now
I'm not sleeping well either.
Yeah, yeah. And you should tell that part of the story because that's really good.
So when we got married, I had terrible brain fog and headache and insomnia. But when we were dating, I didn't express it to him. Like I didn't say it because I always thought people would think I was lazy. And for 20 years, I'm just suffering. I'd spend my days in bed. I don't know how I got through it. So when we get married, Nick is a early bird. Like he wakes up early, he's at the gym. And then so I'm trying to show him that I can, you know, that we're going to go together. So he's up, he's at the gym at 8. So I'm going with him. And meanwhile, I am dying. Just hanging by a thread. And I'm not sleeping well because now, you know, because I just don't sleep well. I'm a light sleeper and I am just miserable for months. And it wasn't until one day I told him, I said, I'm so depressed. I'm not happy. And he's like, what? He was so shocked. And he said, what am I doing? I said, it's not you, but I have all these issues in my head. I didn't want to tell you because I don't want you to think I'm lazy. But sometimes when you're gone, I'm spending the whole day in bed and my head hurts so badly. And you were just beside yourself. Yeah. And then so he said, what do you need? I said, I can't wake up and go to the gym with you. Like that will not work. I think you think I'm an early bird person. I'm not. I'm actually, I want to be in bed until 8, 9, or whenever I wake up. This is why I work for myself. So we have to establish these, what are they called? They're not even boundaries. What
Ground
are they?
Rules.
Ground rules that he would wait, when he would wake up, he would open the door a certain way, tippy toe. And it was to the point, like you have to like get the full, whatever.
Yeah, get the WD-40 and make sure the lock.
Remove the locks. I mean, the whole thing. And he was so patient with me. And now I sleep great. Thank God we figured out the brain fog. But that was a challenge.
Yeah. I think the critical part of that story is that Marie, and this goes back to when we were dating before we were married, she was basically trying to perform for me, right?
Right.
So that I wouldn't feel some kind of way about her.
I didn't want to be judged.
Right.
Yeah.
And sacrificing herself for that.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. Yes. Right. Yes. She was very much, you know, in misery to a certain degree, even though she was very adept at hiding it, because this preceded even our relationship. She had been going through this for years and years and years. But she had the freedom over much of that time to be able to, you know, deal with it how she needed to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we get a year into our marriage, right? Mm-hmm. And the worst thing you want to hear as a husband is your wife saying to you, I'm not happy. And I'm like, you know, the 30-year-old me or the 20, maybe even the 40-year-old me would have taken that as an indictment. Like, you know, and I did say like, oh my God, is it something I'm doing? Like, what am I doing? Because mm-hmm. I'm completely unaware that you could make a statement as grave as that I'm unhappy. Mm-hmm. But because again, she is who she is, she didn't make it my fault. She basically confessed that there was stuff that was going on that I was not aware of, mm-hmm. which immediately put me into the mode of like, well, let's figure out how we can do this, you know? Yeah, sure. And it wasn't just about the thing that's important to note is it wasn't just about the sleep. It was about my energy. It was mm-hmm. about the fact that I was a grinder, that I was get up early and get it done and blah, blah, blah. And that energy that I brought to how I run my day was very different than her energy. And totally. She had sublimated how she wants to start her day, how she wants to have her spiritual practice and all that mm-hmm. stuff. And all that had been sublimated. And that was really the crucial missing point that we had to That's get so true. Together so that she could feel like a woman. She could feel like the spiritual creature that she was. And so that was how we worked through it is really allowing her to figure out how to do that. And it's sure. much better sense.
That's true. Because I wasn't having time for myself to, you know, I usually meditate, journal, pray. Sure. I wasn't having that because, you know, he's like up early, going, and I have to go, you know, it was affecting me.
Yeah.
And those are those honest conversations that you have to have. Those are the
totally. And we didn't live together until like a week before we got married. So, mm-hmm.
He wouldn't have known. Well, I have a fun question for you. I wanted to see from you, Nick, what is it that you need from Marie Claire to achieve the highest level of intimacy? What makes you, or what is it that she can do for you to make you feel close?
Oh, that's good. Yeah, I mean, she does a great job at that. You know, if there's anything that Marie can do, it's just to continue to, you know, just acknowledge, you know, that, you know, men, you know, need, you know, that female energy, you know, in every way, from the bedroom to the boardroom, right? You know, it's mm-hmm. like, you know, because sometimes in the process of being married, you know, you life takes over, energy levels change, hormones change, all kinds of things change or whatever, right? So it's just kind of being, you know, as intentional as possible about all those things. And it's the same for me. So I think that's the one thing. But her natural default is so, you know, intimacy based that, you know, it's not nothing is a heavy lift in that department for her.
How about you, Marie Claire? What do you need from Nick to achieve that just highest level of intimacy between
the two? To continue to see me. Because let me tell you, like, literally, this makes me want to cry. Nick just literally holds imagine a bright light, and it just holds it and it just shines it upon me all the time. And I feel that it is such a gift, and I don't take it for granted. Whether it's my work, whether it's how I treat my friends. And there are times where, you know, where I'm like, I don't feel like I'm a good daughter today. It's like, baby, look what you've accomplished. I see you. You are, don't let anyone tell you, you are amazing. You deserve love. You are funny. And he affirms me because he sees me. It doesn't matter if I, from the little things, did you buy a new dress? I love this. I saw that. I saw that. Oh, I love that on you. Is that, oh, you cut your hair today. I know it. He notices everything about me. And that makes me feel really, really, really good. I think that's your gift. Like,
and when I don't, she says those three magic words that when I try and make it up.
It's too late.
If I didn't notice it right away.
We'll be in the elevator going down. We're going out to dinner or something. And I don't know, maybe let's just say I have on new shoes. And then he'll be like, are these new shoes? I said, it's too late. And then we laugh. Right, right, right. But you're great at that. You see me. And that makes me feel really, really good. Right, yeah.
Right. All right. Yeah.
But doesn't that inspire you then just naturally to see him? Right.
Oh, yes.
Because you are getting, you're being seen and you're felt and you're heard and you're validated. It makes you want to do that for him.
Absolutely.
There's so much reciprocity that just naturally and organically happens when you do that for each other, when it comes from a place of real love and respect.
Mm-hmm. Great dance. You guys have a great dance. I love to see you doing it together. So we're going to close on one last question. So this is a fill in the blank, right?
Okay.
And so, and either of you can go first. So I'm not going to call on anybody. So you get to step up on your own on this one.
Speed round.
The key to a successful marriage is blank. What? Yeah, I'd love for you each to fill in that blank for me.
Keep dating.
Keep dating. Great advice.
Mutual respect.
two things. Wow.
That's a great combination.
I think those are going over it's the bleachers. Tens. Both those hits are going over the crowd's going, wow.
Yeah, yes.
You guys have been great. Thank you again. Golly, it's been so fun getting to know you. Nick, I'm going to reach out, man. We're talking some more. I'm just.
Oh, yes.
This is a beginning. You know what? I tell Kim, sometimes we have an interview and I'll look and I go, I'm angry. She's like, how could you be angry? That was a great interview. I go, I want to invite him over for dinner. I want to go double date or so. Let's go have some fun. They're so cool.
Yeah.
Right. So anyway, thank you guys again. You've been so generous with your time and you definitely are kick-ass. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise. You're doing it right.
Yeah.
And we can't wait to share all the goodness with everybody. It's our audience so they can benefit as well.
Keep on having fun, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you guys. And you guys, thank you for the example you set. You know, I know you guys are coming up on 3 decades in the game. And, you know, I hope that we can be able to say the same kinds of things that you guys
are
saying at this stage.
Yeah. You know, the road's not always straight. Sometimes it's like this, but we made it. We made it. And it's the whole body of work. Whole body of work. And the whole body of work is good. And so we are. Yeah. We're blessed. I'm grateful. And so grateful to get to meet and talk to people like you. I know this is not the end, but just a beginning. So
that's awesome.
Yes. And we will connect with y'all soon.
Thank you so much.
Have a great rest of the day.
Bye.
Thanks again.
Bye.
Bye.